Talk Radio with Michael, Neil, Phil, and the gang.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio. This is episode 301. This is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. We share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we all become better at writing songs. I'm your host, Neil Modi, and with me are the colorful members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team. We have Fuchsia Phil.
am I Fuchsia?
You're Fuchsia.
I'm wearing a black shirt. Okay.
Black is the new... Fuchsia is the new black.
Okay. Mm. All right.
Confucian.
Yes.
And we have Magenta Mike.
Which is close to the fuchsia.
It is close to fuchsia. Well, that was not on purpose.
You kind of have wine-colored pants.
Yeah, sort of like kind of a burgundy. Yeah. All right. And on social media tonight, we have Royal Blue Rita.
Ooh.
Hello, Rita.
Nice.
And finally on the tech board, it's Denim Don.
Frantic,
thank you.
Welcome, Don, to the team. Don's handling our tech board for the second time now, I think.
So Don's the man.
I'm not counting. We are. Goes on your Iron Man
record. But because we sound so good, it's all due to Don.
That's right. And, of course, during the show, please send in your comments and questions to @SongTalkRadio on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or feedback@songtalk.ca for the good old-fashioned email, and we'll share them with the audience in as real time as we can. And please visit us at songtalk.ca to find out how you can be a guest. Before we get to tonight's guest, though, we have from the news desk.
We've got listener emails, and we love emails. So the first email we got was about last week's show.
Right.
Which was
more complaints.
More complaints about a fantastic songwriter. And and we were talking to him about the conversation where your guest says he's not written unrequited love songs about himself.
That was Steve Strongman.
Steve Strongman, yeah.
Right.
Does everybody always assume songs by singer-songwriters are autobiographical? Also, do you?
I don't, but people tend to. There's something about the delivery mechanism. You know, if you see an actor in a show, you don't think that that's necessarily the person. But when a singer sings something, it seems like it's coming from them.
Yeah, people tend to see singer-songwriters as more confessional than actors.
Yeah, that was the point that Frank Zappa made at the PRMC hearing when they were labeling records. He said that it was unfair to label records because you were, in essence, labeling the person as being obscene, which was not necessarily the case because you might have been singing a song in character.
Right.
However, that didn't work, and now they label obscene records.
But I think probably it happens more often than not is people write songs not about themselves necessarily.
Have you ever written a song, say, that a young lady might have misinterpreted and thought it was about her? About your relationship or something
Not that per se, not that I know of at least.
I know I've written songs about a young lady who had no idea that it was about there.
And, right. You
know,
about
yeah, it. That's the opposite.
I mean, certainly when I was a kid, I think I always assumed that the songwriter or the singer was actually singing something they actually experienced. Of course, that wasn't true. I remember the first time I heard High School Confidential by Rough Trade.
Oh yeah,
and you know Carol Pope. And you know there's this one line that says she makes me cream my jeans every time she comes my way. And I sort of thought, oh, I guess this must be a cover of another song, just because when I was like 10 or something, I just never thought, oh, well, maybe there's a girl who likes another girl. It just never occurred to me, you know. But I always assumed it was the people actually, if you sang the song, it was because it was actually from your standpoint. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought about, was weird about the Rocket Man movie, because Elton John was singing these songs about stuff that he was watching, but of course he didn't write any of the lyrics.
No, that was Bernie Taupin.
That was Bernie Taupin. Exactly. So it's it's not it at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that they used his lyrics to be autobiographical in telling the story of Elton John when he had never written the lyrics.
I know.
I think the short answer to Sharon's question is that it depends if you're a songwriter or not.
If you're a musician,
if you're an artist, you probably pay attention to those details. If you're not, then you probably assume that the person singing it is about them.
Yeah, I think it does. And I think a lot of people, there's a lot of very famous covers that people don't realize are covers.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like Nazareth, Love Hurts was a cover. So,
that's right.
You know. All right. So the second one was from Ruby M., doesn't say where she's from. Very excited about this. Mm-hmm. And the subject is links to the second annual Gifties. And Ruby has now won something. I don't know what. But it's because we're now going to be calling our gift guide the Gifties.
Accolades and
what a great line, isn't it?
The Gifties.
The Gifties. So we're going to trademark that so that no one else can steal that.
Yeah.
So Ruby wrote, hello, I just listened to your podcast for the first time and then hopped over to the site, but not finding a list of the recommended gifts. Help. That's because I was slovenly, and we often put a priority to get the song out into the podcast stream.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually put the podcast up before we got the list up, but actually now the list is all there.
Yep, with links.
With links from everyone's list of Vanessa, Michael, Niels, myself,
yeah.
And a couple from the listeners. So go there and get some great gifts for you this holiday season.
Or for us.
Or for
feel
us.
Feel generous.
Happy shopping.
I will accept any of those gifts, actually.
I will accept all of them.
Or money.
Money.
Money is always works for me. So,
feel free to send
Ruby's going
to get
2 cents
numbers.
Every time we use the word gifties. So.
That's true.
There's the gift right there.
Anyways, Ruby, we're going to send you something. We don't know what it is. If we had merch, we'd send you a T-shirt, but we don't have merchandise.
Working
so,
on it.
We'll send you something.
Okay. All right. Our guest tonight, David McLaughlin, is a prolific songwriter with 7 albums released and 1 currently in the can for release in August 2020. It's 2020, like in a couple weeks, guys.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Just so you know, 5 of his albums were recorded with stellar A-list players in Nashville. David will play Winter Folk in Toronto in late February 2020, and then at the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville in early March. Welcome to the show, David.
Ooh. Thank you. Thanks,
guys. Yeah, thanks for coming out.
I've always heard of the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville. What's so special about the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville?
It's a really small place, but it's got this vibe or cachet. Are you allowed to say that on the radio?
Yeah.
It's got this cachet.
It's got that je ne sais quoi.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It was originally started by this gal, Amy Kurland. And when she let it go, NSAI, Nashville Songwriter Association, bought the Bluebird. Mm-hmm. And they pioneered the songwriter in the round format.
Oh, okay. That's where that started.
And really, where I met you... Mm-hmm. You know, when you're across the stage, it's actually you're in the middle of the floor in a round, and the audience is all around you in the bar.
Wow.
So you're sitting opposite one person, and then the other 2 and 4 are sitting opposite. So you're in a circle, just like we are now, with the audience all around you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Neat. So it's actually made for listening. Like, it's not a bar.
It's a listening room, yeah. And the common thing you'll hear is shh.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like...
Okay.
You know, some songwriter's going to pontificate, and we don't want to miss a word, right?
Yeah. So. Ooh, a songwriter speaking.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I always liked about the Free Times Cafe we have here in Toronto, that, you know, you go to the back room, and it's specific for listening. I've heard the open mic host there be like, shush, we're trying to hear the songwriter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even when I went to Hugh's room last week to see Steve Strongman, the announcement up front was the same kind of thing. Look, this is a listening room, so please don't be talking while the performers are playing, but... Once he was playing, no one was talking. They were just riveted.
Yeah, that always helps.
So the Bluebird has like a writer's night Monday night, an open mic, writer's night Sunday night, open the mic Monday night, and then they have artists Tuesday to Sunday, and sometimes it's 2 shows a night.
Well, wow.
Yeah.
Music all the time.
And then because of the TV show, it's become so el popular that, you know, you can't get a seat there because it's so small and people are lined up and they got to go to the Bluebird.
So why don't you tell us about your songwriting process, David? How are your songs born?
My songs are born, I guess, by inspiration.
What does that mean to you?
What does that mean to me? There's a whole process of craft and starting to write, but I'm lazy. I like the idea to come to me, the inspiration to come to me, and
so you're not necessarily deliberately writing every day. I don't.
Like, I'm always thinking. I'm always listening to what people say. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people will say the darndest things, and the syntax might be off a bit or something. I go, wow, goes in my file.
Right.
You know.
What form does your file take? Do you record notes on your phone, or
Words. It's words.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I'll put the music to it later. So I have a whole list of titles in my phone.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
Things I've overheard people say, or Facebook's great for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Facebook is.
YouTube comments.
Yeah. I just did a song in Nashville in September on my next album, the one that's coming out next year. And someone said something, and I said, yeah, what the heart wouldn't let go. And I went, that's a song, man. So I left the post up, but I put it in my phone. And then Harp and Norm and I wrote it this summer, What the Heart Wouldn't Let Go. And that's coming out on that album next year.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. So this list of titles you have, you back it up, right? You
don't no.
If you lose your phone?
I don't.
So if you lose your phone, you're going to lose all those titles?
Probably. Yeah. But they're out there. They're floating around. So you just have to
just grab another
pick
one.
Them out of the sky. Yeah. So I think I'm a lazy songwriter. I wait.
So it sounds like your lyrics first.
Not
or
always.
At least some lyrics first.
Not lately. I'd say more lately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Earlier when I wrote, it was I had a music or a groove or something, and then what is that saying to me? And then you'd get the words to come up.
Okay.
But I'd say, yeah, lately I've come up with the words and put the music to it.
Right.
Yeah.
So over your career and over the seven albums, has your process changed, you think? Or it's just...
Well, I'm still open to doing it the other way.
Yeah.
But, maybe the process has changed a bit.
Do you find necessarily you end up with songs you're happier with one way or the other, or is it kind of even?
I usually will finish a song if I start it. And... For me, it's because I don't – it's a keeper. I'll keep it.
Mm-hmm.
If I put that energy and the time into it. I don't write garbage just for the sake of a writing exercise.
Yeah, we've heard of that before where, you know, someone decides to write a song a day for a year.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Whether it's good or bad or whatever, just to exercise the muscle, I guess,
yeah.
Right?
But you have bits and pieces, too, that you save.
Yeah. All the time. All the time. Yeah. I have a brown paper bag at home with napkins and bar cozies and just with all this brilliance written on it, right?
Right.
It's in the bag. And
the bag of brilliance?
I think I only open the bag to put the new stuff in. I never have looked in there going, oh, I need something. Maybe it's in the bag. Dump it on the floor and what'll come out, right?
But I've often wondered about that myself.
Yeah. I'm going to write a song called Brown Paper Bag. There's an album
right there, the Songs from the Bag.
Songs from the Bag. I like that.
So,
I'm in the bag writing a song. Okay, go
in that case, it'll all seem brilliant.
Yeah.
Other artists cover your material or...?
I do a lot of Neil Young stuff, and unfortunately, he doesn't do any of my stuff in his shows. So
doesn't seem fair.
it doesn't seem fair. Not as of yet.
No, okay.
Not as of yet. But when I write, I don't write with another artist in mind, trying to get a cover, because there's 30,000 people in Nashville doing that every day.
Right.
So.
So you're writing primarily for yourself.
Yeah. And I'm the artist.
Yeah.
And amazingly, it gets cut. So what a deal.
Can't complain.
You got to be your own best friend, right?
Yeah. Okay, so why don't we hear the first song? This is called Dance You to the Moon.
Dance You to the Moon, okay.
Right on. And this was...
And how was the process of this song? Do you remember how you wrote this?
Yeah, sure I do. I had sold my cottage and... this was the day before I was leaving, and I wrote two songs that afternoon, and they're both on the new album, and it's the first time I've ever written two songs simultaneously, so I think I was processing lots of stuff, and I was thinking, man, I got to be writing a song about, oh, I'm leaving my cottage, oh, I had it 30 years, and poor little me, and this is what came out, right? And so, yeah. My wife always used to say, you got two left feet, right? She was a great dancer, and I wasn't, so I don't know. That popped into the song and opened it up. It's called Dance You to the Moon. You always said I had two left feet. Oh, I did my best to try and keep the beat. I had so much fun with you out on the floor. Let me loosen up and I will dance some more.
You know you hold my dance card. Come on, do-si-do. Not so fast, my darling. Let's do it nice and slow. We can move as one all around the room. Let's hold each other tight and I'll dance you to the moon. We can be the first ones on the floor tonight. Dance the night away till they turn on the lights. If we sit one out, watch the others move. Have a drink, smooch a bit, get back in the groove. You know you hold my dance card, come on, do-si-do. Not so fast, my darling, let's do it nice and slow. We can move as one all around the room. Let's hold each other tight and I'll dance you to the moon. You know you hold my dance card, come on, do-si-do. Not so fast, my darling, let's do it nice and slow. We can move as one all around the room. Let's hold each other tight and I'll dance you to the moon.
Thanks to the moon. Thanks very much.
Great tune.
Yeah. What'd you think, Michael?
I find it, I always find it interesting to listen to the solo version after having listened to the produced version, because your record, the produced version of it, sounds great and big and all that. But it's always, well, it's what we were talking about earlier. You seem more like it's your story when it's, you know, just you and your guitar.
Right.
So I was just kind of entranced watching it play. It's a wonderful story song,
yeah,
that puts you in a mood or takes you to a mood. I really like that.
Yeah,
it certainly takes you to a place.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Like you sort of in your mind's eye, you add, you know, like the moths or whatever fluttering on the lights and the porch and like I don't know, it just has a real kind of late summer feel to it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, nice.
Yeah. And the feel of it's got that kind of dance steppy, you know, upbeat kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Going on, so it kind of, you know, like the music and the lyric, the story is very,
right,
they're married together quite well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Well, it's kind of...
You know what that is, eh?
Prosody?
Prosody, yeah.
Prosody?
Sorry, this is episode 301. I guess I'll shut up right now.
We've got to talk about prosody.
What's prosody?
Prosody, I'm not sure if it was Pat Pattison who coined the term, but he certainly uses it a lot. So his thing is that, okay, this song that David wrote is about dancing.
Right.
So the lyric is, everything in the lyric is going to point towards that theme, that idea.
Right.
And all my musical decisions as well are going to point and go towards that theme.
Okay.
So I'm going to do an upbeat, poppy kind of thing. And so it's what's the song about when you're not talking about the lyric and the music? Like, what's the overarching idea?
Right.
So the music, theme that the music, ties everything together.
The music should match
right.
the content. And the best example of prosody is the theme from Jaws.
Uh-huh.
And in two notes,
yeah,
da da, da da, they got you.
Yeah,
because you know something's going to happen. Da da, in two notes.
Right.
Where is it? Right.
And of course, I mean, there are many, many songs where those two things are in opposition.
Yeah, things can be at odds. Like our song challenge is kind of like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Positive song written in an
happy
key.
Lyric in a minor key.
So
yeah.
Or I remember hearing the Birds, one of the Birds' first albums, talking about a mining disaster, but they're playing this jangly 12 string, and it's like happy-go-lucky.
It was the happiest mining disaster I ever heard.
Yeah. But that's not prosody.
Yeah.
But people like the song because of the music, probably.
Yeah.
And then listen to the lyrics.
I think the line, dancing to the moon, is a wonderful line. It's like one of those perfect poetic turns of phrase, which I thought was just so nice. It's interesting. It sounds very traditional because it seems like there's not, like, you don't change chords going into the chorus, I think, isn't it?
Is it the same chord progression, verse and chorus?
I
think there's one, maybe one chord difference?
It's the same chords, but in a different order.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the chorus starts on G, whereas the song starts on D.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So it's just one to the five.
Yeah. Let's look. Play the verse.
Please.
So play the verse?
Yeah, just so we can see the difference between the verse and the chorus.
So that's and then
it's nice because it's a nice gentle sort of change. It doesn't stand out too much, but it sounds
jarring.
Which I think gives it that kind of traditional feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but come on, do si do really tells you this is the chorus.
That's true.
if that's not a signifier that we're in the chorus, I don't know.
That's true.
Do you do a lot of editing when it comes to your songs, or?
I do, but not while I'm writing them. That was going to be my songwriter tip at the end of the show. You got to shut the editor right off, and if it's coming, let it come, get it down, write it all out, and then start picking stuff up and putting it together.
So you always get through one draft first.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
As quickly as possible.
Do you wind up writing like extra verses so that you have like maybe more than one, like, because you have like sort of two verses here? Would you, in this case, would you write maybe three verses and then pick them out, or?
No.
No?
I'm not as prolific as
Leonard. Because this is actually, this one other comment about this song is it's fairly economical. Like it's kind of about one thing. You're not, you know, you don't take a bridge and go somewhere else and kind of explore this, you know, big long story or anything. Yeah. It's pretty compact in those terms. So it seems like what Phil's talking about, like maybe you had some more stuff in here, but you streamlined it.
I did a songwriting course with Gary Burr in Nashville. Uh-huh. And Gary Burr has quite a pedigree. He's got like 14 number ones, 24 top 20s, 32 top 40s.
Wow.
And he's got a method called the North Star Method.
Oh.
And he says every line in the song should point to your North Star. So I'm not going to go back and...
Yeah.
He suggests to go back and look at some of your stuff. And so you have to figure out what the North Star is.
Like yeah.
Dance You to the Moon might not be the North Star. It might be... we're dancing together and having a good time.
Right.
So every line's got a point to that.
Or come on, do-si-do. Like just
come on, do-si-do.
Get up on the floor with me.
Yeah. Like, who says that in a song? I do.
You do.
Oh, wow, that's original. Thanks. but you know, if I had the editor on, I'd say, oh, no, I can't say that in a song.
Nice.
I'm a sophisticated Toronto guy and, you know.
Yeah.
It just came out. Stayed there. That's the Neil Young school.
Mm-hmm.
That's what came through, man. I'm keeping it.
You mentioned Neil Young. Who are your songwriting influences or your playing influences?
Neil Young, big time, and Joni Mitchell, and Toronto writers like Murray McLaughlin and Bruce Coburn. Steve Goodman, for sure.
Yeah,
Steve Goodman and Harry Chapin, I guess. You know, people that I saw growing up, either at Ontario Place or the Riverboat in Yorkville, and
right,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what was the road that led you to Nashville?
I had done two albums in Toronto. The first we did at my cottage with David Bradstreet, and David's a fine singer, songwriter, producer. We went to my cottage and did it in the Muskoka room.
Oh, nice.
And then he midied all the other parts to it and
Had
a bass player put some stuff down. And that was great. And then the second album, I went into a studio down in Carlaw, and it was April Fool's Day. It was also Good Friday, the same day as April Fool's Day. So double whammy. I thought, yeah, this is a good omen. So I run through the 10 songs. He says, okay, that's good. Come on in the control room. And I went in the control room, and the guy laid down the bass. He laid down a bit of piano. We brought a cellist in, a French horn.
He had recorded you playing your...
He recorded me playing, and I knew he was recording me, but it wasn't like, okay, that was a good take. Now let's get it for real.
Yeah.
I did it perfect. The songs are one take, except one song. I flubbed it, and I said, let's start over, and we redid it.
Wow.
Were these you'd been playing live?
Yeah.
So you had some comfort with them.
So when I went to Nashville, I brought my guitar into the studio, and the producer goes, you're not playing today, are you? I said, no, I just like bringing my guitar with me. Like down there, you don't get out your guitar. Like these guys are wizards, just wizards, yeah. So all I did was vocals.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So you bring in an arrangement or work with them to make the arrangement?
The way I do it with them is I send them the MP3 of me on guitar, like you just heard.
Yeah.
With the lyric sheet. And we do a Skype meeting 1 week before. Uh-huh. It's a 3-hour Skype meeting. And Larry, the producer, writes the charts. And he'll say, you know, you're 6 bars in that turnaround. Why don't we make that 4?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm glad you caught that. Yeah, 4 is better. Right. Let's do 4, right? Like, he's just cleaning it up, tightening it up.
Maybe altering tempo a bit or...
No. Never.
They don't suggest that?
Sometimes when we're in there, they'll go, hey, what's the BPM on that? Let's put it up to 108, right? And so we'll do it a little faster, but...
Usually a subtle change, if at all, right?
Subtle change. Yeah. And he'll say, like, I might have had a chord like this. He said, why don't we do that chord? Oh, that works better. Thanks. But minimal tinkering.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the finished product is what I heard in my head. That's why I like going there. That's why I go to Nashville. And that album that you've got there, we did in 5 days.
Wow. So, like, how much would something like this cost, like, when you go down to Nashville? Like,
well, that's classified. I can't tell that.
Top secret information.
Because I know a lot of people would want to do that, but it's you have no idea if that's, like, you know, is that, like, a $20,000 thing?
Yeah, what would be a range? I mean, because obviously there's different players.
$1,000 a track.
And, yeah.
$1,000 a track, Canadian.
That's not bad.
It's great.
Yeah. Because they get really it done. Good.
Well, that's the thing. That's why I go. You go in Monday at 10, you leave Friday at 5. Finish master, 12 tunes.
Damn. That's amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, we have that SoCan house down there.
SoCan, I've tried to get into it. Like, you need to book it almost a year in advance.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
What's SoCan house?
SoCan house is a house they will have songwriters stay at free of charge because they're a SoCan member. So you're not putting out $100 U.S. a night for a 3-bed hotel, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. You just need to know way ahead of time
when
you're booking
your
time.
When you're
going to
go and do it and book it. Yeah, book it.
Okay, and speaking of planning ahead, we're just going to take a short little break and we'll be right back.
CJRU, 1280 AM in Toronto.
Aw, yeah, this is DJ Lady Funkalicious from All About the Funk, bringing you classic funk and soul and those crazy funk mixes by DJs K Smooth and G Nice, Fridays from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Don't you miss the groove now.
Hey, I'm Elissa, the host of Echo Beach. Each Thursday, I explore a new album from an emerging artist. I play some tracks, get the musicians in the studio for interviews, and go through their back catalogs. Tune in to Echo Beach every Thursday at 3 p.m. on CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto.
Hey, it's me, the Punisher. Be sure to listen to Radio Free Krypton on CJRU 1280 AM every Thursdays at 5 and Fridays at 8 a.m. or I'll punish you.
Hey, for those of you just joining us, you are listening to Song Talk Radio, streaming on songtalk.ca, and today we are talking with David McLaughlin. Don't forget, we love to hear from you, even during the show, so why don't you share your thoughts and questions with us at Song Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca. We'll share your thoughts and questions on here on the show. And coming up on Song Talk Radio in the next couple of weeks, we on December 12th... December 10th, Jeff Farquharson with his holiday songs. That's going to be kind of fun. And then on December 17th, it's going to be a fun one, Song Talk Radio's Best Songs of the Decade special with Mike McInnes will be joining us.
Yes.
Cool.
That'll be a fun show.
With his big brain. So that's going to be good fun. So please tune in to that
one. And then Christmas Eve. What do we do Christmas Eve?
Well, Christmas Eve, we have a special Christmas episode coming up, but that's, of course, not for a little while yet because I haven't actually started my Christmas shopping. But I have put up the Christmas lights, so that's something.
You guys will do a show Christmas Eve?
Well, kind well of, recorded.
It'll
ahead
be broadcast
of time.
On Christmas Eve.
Okay.
There will be a Christmas Eve show.
Yeah.
And back to you, Neil.
Okay, so why don't we get to David's second song here, "Heart Without Love."
Okay.
How did this one come about?
Yeah, I was watching a movie on Women's Network, and I watch a lot of those sort of those syrupy, sappy love movies, and one of the characters said to this guy, like, they were trying to make it work, and she said, "You know, a life without love is only half a life." And I said, "Thanks for the song." Put it in the file. Mm-hmm. And two nights later, the muse woke me up out of bed.
Are those movies sort of a gold mine for?
Oh, there's lots of great stuff in there. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
To
yeah,
check
yeah.
out some sappy rom coms.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of them on now.
Yeah. Oh, the Christmas ones. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, the one I was watching, it wasn't Christmas, so it's the same plot line, but no Christmas trees and no snow and
right.
You know what
that's the only difference.
But it was still a love thing, right? So. Two nights later, the muse got me out of bed, and I keep a yellow legal pad on a music stand beside my bed.
Ah, very
with
smart.
With a red felt tip pen.
So all these lyrics are legal then?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And so when you get up in the middle of the night, the critic says, "Nah, I'm not getting up. I'm staying in bed." So the critic is out of the way, right?
Ah, right.
So you're just writing stream of consciousness, and you're writing. And the song, I wrote that song that night, two nights after I heard the line. So it's kind of an R&B thing, but there's no horns in it. Anyway.
let's hear it.
It's called Heart Without Love. A life without love is only half a life. Heard that in a movie, an echo in the night. Looking for a sign up in the sky. A heart without love is only half a life. Walk without a hand to hold, hold as your own. Is to walk alone on a hard gravel road. There'll be curves and bends, you take them as they lie. A heart without love is only half alive. A heart to share your hopes and dreams and all your fears is a heart that wants to know why all the tears. A life without love is only half a life. Heard that in a movie, an echo in the night. Looking for a sign up in the sky. A heart without love is only half alive. A heart without love is only half alive. A heart without love is only half alive.
Woo!
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Very nice.
I really like the rhythm of "A Heart Without Love is Only Half Alive."
Yeah.
That's a really hooky way of doing that line.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just a flat line. Can you just do those two lines again, please?
So when I was doing the demo to send to Nashville, I'd had a glass of wine. I'm up in the bathroom. I had my MP3 player. And
in the bathroom?
Yeah, I do it in baths for the echo, yeah.
Okay.
And you don't have to add any reverb to it. It makes it sound like Bruce Springsteen, which is great.
That's so, not a bad thing.
I was singing A Life Without Love, and then I just went to this break thing, and a heart without love is only half love, popped out, and I thought, Wow, man, that's great. Maybe that's the song, right? So I changed what I heard. So what was it that you wanted me to do over again?
Well, just do those two lines, because I think, like, it's an interesting pairing of the line. You have a heart without love, fairly straightforward rhythm, but then you have a more interesting rhythm on your second line. Is only half alive?
Alive without love is only half alive.
The last two lines of your verse. The key lines, heart without love.
Heart without love is only half alive.
Yeah, that's so hooky.
Heart without love is only half alive.
Yeah, that's such a hooky way of handling that line.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah, because it's not just heart without love is only, I mean, because there's an extra a syllable in there, but it kind of makes it a lot more catchy. Is only half alive,
right? I got you.
You know, it's almost kind of Celtic in some ways. Okay. It's got the bit of the Celtic feel, you know.
Yeah, it puts the emphasis on a different word,
right?
Because before it's like only half alive, and then when you do it that way, it's only half alive.
No, it's only half a life.
Only half a life.
A life without. Heart without a life without love is only half.
We'll never be
alive.
Able to sing this again.
We're having half lives.
Oh, glad to ruin the song for you.
This song doesn't really have a chorus per se.
No.
Yeah, it's just
that break thing.
Yeah.
It's the refrain thing. Like.
It's kind of a verse and refrain.
Yeah, so you have a verse, and at the end of the verse is your.
Two verses. I repeat the first verse.
Yeah. But certainly the tag on the end is sort of, tag, refrain, whatever you want to call it.
It's interesting because I could see this actually having like you could actually have more than one verses. Like it's a very tight song, but did you explore doing more verses at all? Or?
No, back to the Neil Young thing. I'm done.
Because the other one's pretty short, like even in terms of minutes and seconds, it's fairly short.
They're radio friendly.
Yeah,
like
they're radio friendly, 3 minute,
310, 303,
Yeah. And again, the bridge, not a massive departure in terms of musical chord choices.
The bridge is supposed to take you over here to say, but the bridge is the emotional center of that song, especially when the end on that tears rhyming with fears, right? But
it's a different perspective on the subject that you're singing about.
Yeah.
What do you think, Michael?
Again, first of all, I always like hearing the different versions of it, you know.
So you heard on the CD, now you're hearing
listened
it
on the CD,
way.
Yeah. And it seems much more direct. But I also just find myself, okay, how's he playing it?
One of those chords.
So that's one of the advantages. So that's why I should go to our YouTube channel so you can also watch the show and see how he plays this. But I just was interested in... I think it was partly what you're saying about like the way that your vocals sometimes are kind of rhythmic and calming, and then you pick up the pace, or you make the hook. So how that works with the patterns that you're playing too. So
it's one of the many ways to introduce a little bit of tension.
I was just watching it being made, really.
Yeah.
I wanted to pick your brain a bit, if you could. So you've been down to Nashville a number of times. And I know a lot of people talk about wanting to go down to Nashville and sort of get basically your experience. So what are your tips for someone who wants to go down and do that?
It's very humbling. The level of talent there is like sky high. So I sneak into town under the stealth of night with a disguise. I don't announce my... arrival or anything, and then no, I'm kidding.
So you think wearing a disguise is helpful?
As long as you don't have to leave during the
you know what, everyone down there is so nice for the level of talent they have. Just go in and be humble bumble.
So what exactly do you do? So if I say, oh, I want to go to Nashville, I have no idea, like, where do you go?
There's a place, Skerritt Bennett, and it's like 80 bucks a night, and you have a little dorm room, and it's like a campus, and you share a bathroom with someone, and there's like a lock system. So in your room, it's like a prison cell.
You're guessing.
But no.
That's true.
Uh-oh. I have a story about that. good one.
Heard it in a movie. Right?
Heard it in a movie, yeah. So that's real cheap. But you could go down and stay at a place and down by Broadway, the Bridgestone Arena, and spend $500 U.S. a night for a hotel if you want. I'm a songwriter. I you know, I'm going on the cheap.
Right.
So, but your point is that place is just filled with other songwriters and...
Oh yeah. Everyone, like, it's a mecca. People go there and they're trying to get a cut or get discovered or do their thing. And
so do you have to book, like, online at this place or...
You can. Yeah. And if you stay, like, one time I stayed, I think, 2 weeks, and they gave me a deal on the thing, and it's up on 21st Avenue. So it's just north of where all the Publishers Music Row and stuff like that are. And it's up by Vanderbilt University. And last time I stayed at a Airbnb, a friend of mine's daughter is an aspiring artist, and so she bought her a place there, and so...
Well,
I stayed at her place, and I'll probably do that again when I go in March, hopefully. Sue, if you're listening, I'm going to call you.
So the first time you went down there, had you knew people, you'd made contacts in the Nashville area,
well,
or
no.
the music biz there, or no, you went down kind of
blind? I'm a member of the Nashville Songwriters Group here in Toronto,
right,
which is the largest chapter outside of Nashville,
mm-hmm.
and they have a thing called Tin Pan South, mm-hmm. which is a songwriter... So there's shows from Monday to Sunday, but on the Friday, Saturday, they have the Tin Pan North Symposium. So there's 300 people that go to songwriter classes.
Hmm.
And you get a time with a publisher. And right. So I did a
so
number of those.
That's here in Toronto?
No, that's
in
Nashville.
That's okay.
In Nashville. And then we do a thing called Tin Pan North in May every year.
Uh-huh. Which is the equivalent here in Toronto?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's just the Songwriter Festival, not... We do a thing called Music Row North, where we have classes one day either at Harris or Trevis Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring in industry people and producers and publishers and put on a seminar, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a way to raise money to keep the song stuff going. So when I went to Nashville, I went to these Tin Pan North things, and that was kind of my introduction to Nashville.
So you were there, and then you met people down there? It's like kind of networked type thing, or?
Yeah, I met like a lot of songwriters in these groups, but a friend of mine did a 4-song EP at the studio where I've done all mine, and I heard her EP, and I went, my God. That is great. So I called the guy and booked it, and I've done 5 albums there now.
Done and done.
Right, so yeah. You go down there. So someone, like, they you advise them to sort of go through the Toronto Nashville Songwriters group sort of as an introduction to get down there?
You could, or people can contact me. I'd be happy to help them out if they wanted to.
Oh, it's very
get
kind.
Some tips or point them in the right direction. And my next bus is leaving in April, and I'm taking a tour down. No, I'm kidding.
Do you fly?
If you order it with the lunch, that'll be extra.
So you just fly down?
I've driven once, and it was first and last time. It was 15 hours down, 13 hours back.
Ooh.
Got a song out of it.
Oh, that's okay.
Called Headed to Nashville. But I fly. It's an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I've met Johnny Reed on the flight. Hey, Johnny, how you doing? Got our picture taken. And
well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So are there any sort of places you recommend someone to go to, like the Bluebird open mic night?
The Bluebird open mic's really hard to get in. You have to call between 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock, so 11 in the morning till 12 noon.
Wow.
And I'm in the studio, and I'm doing a vocal, and the guys are recording live off the floor, and I got my phone on redial because I want to get into the open mic that night.
Oh, wow.
It's never happened.
Oh,
it's just
right.
The luck of the draw.
Because people are, like, calling all the time.
Yeah,
like
they're coming from Alaska,
it's like a little bit like
Florida.
Ticketmaster, yeah.
Yeah, they're coming from everywhere to play a song or two at the Bluebird. Mm-hmm. So the writer's night that I'm doing on Sunday night is I'm doing a workshop with Susie Bogus, and part of the workshop is... You get 2 songs at the writer's night on the Sunday.
Oh, okay.
So that's great, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there must be other open mics. In some ways, that sounds a little antithetical to an open mic. I thought an open mic was whoever shows up at the door.
Well,
is
Douglas Corner. I called up at 1 o'clock, got in, got on the list, And Garth Brooks played there, Alan Jackson, Randy Travis. Just a little place, Douglas Corner, great place. And I get there and I'm 40th on the list.
Yeah.
It's 8 o'clock. Yeah, I'll have a beer. At 20 to 1, I've had way too many beers and I'm not in any shape to get up there and there's still 16 songs to go.
Wow.
And they would have gone through everyone. Everyone would have stayed to the end. And I saw people just starting out. I saw people that, why don't you have a major label deal? Like, unbelievable talent. Just the range was just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great because I didn't get to play, but I sat back and sat through about 68 songs, right?
So. Wow.
Goodness gracious.
Boy, that's a bit of a marathon.
Yeah.
So when you get in the studio down there, are you directing any kind of arrangements or are you letting your producer kind of handle like what, you know, how the bass lines are going to go, how the fiddle's going to
do anything with that? Larry, he's... Well, and they all have a little bit of a say, too, right?
Of course, yeah.
You know, like it's neat because in the control room, we'll listen to my MP3 and I kind of slink down because it sounded so good at home, but I don't know why it sounds so bad in this room here. And we're reading the lyrics, and the common phrase in the room is, charts correct? Yeah, charts correct. Because he's fixed up my MP3.
Right.
And they're hearing what I'm doing and looking at the chart and going, I don't see that on here.
Mm. Right, right.
Right? Which is amazing, right? Yeah, charts correct. Because he's tightened up all those six...
Yeah,
bar turnaround
right,
things
yeah.
and
right.
And oh, we changed this chord and then, so they're at that point they're all throwing in a little bit of, hey, why don't we try, you know, and so they're really experimenting. It's all live off the floor.
Yeah,
everyone same time.
You sort of let them have free reign as far as like guitar licks and interesting little things that they do. And
they're the pros.
Yeah,
they've heard it all before and they know what to do. And
they do this all day.
Yeah. They do this
every
day.
So
every
it's
day.
Like, yeah. So this is nothing for them. This is just like...
Another day at the office.
Yeah.
The drummer, Eddie Bayers, was just admitted to the Nashville Musicians Hall of Fame.
Wow.
He's played on records that have sold over 300 million copies.
Wow.
And the last time I went down, I went, and 300 million and one. He looked at me. I sold an album.
He said, I finally made it.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you something,
crested
David.
Crested the peak.
Both of these songs are very storied, literal, kind of, you know, slice of life type of thing. Do you ever write songs with more abstract lyrics?
I have some.
Yeah.
Do
you find those tougher to do?
Yeah. Yeah, like stuff has to make sense to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Like the metaphor has to be clear and you know what it all means.
Yeah.
Even if it's a little obtuse.
Yeah, songwriting is about communication.
Yeah.
Right? You want to touch someone's heart, get into their head later. No, right? You didn't hear that, did you, out there? That's good. Yeah, it's communication. So you want to bridge that gap between you and me and them.
Right.
And so to me, it has to make sense. You know, like I listen to a Bruce Coburn song and I go, man, what is that guy talking about? Right? Because he's so poetical and he throws in the big words and stuff. But but when you analyze it, oh, okay, now I get it. Right?
Right, right.
But he caters to a certain intellectual audience that way, I would think.
Okay.
Yeah. Whereas mine is just for regular folk. No, I'm kidding.
So you've done 7 albums and 5 in Nashville with the same players, more or less.
Yes.
Has your, have you gone in different directions or has your songwriting changed in a way or what you've written about or the way you...
They can rock it up.
Do you have your rock album? Do you have your, like, you know...
On
death metal.
On this album... There. Maybe not on this album. The album before, Reaching for the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff that's, I'd call it country rock, but it kind of rocks. It's you know, like, and for me, I feel good because I'm letting them loose, right? Like, so, but to answer your question about my style, it's all about serving the song. Like, what is the song wanting to be? What is it wanting to say? And let's bring that out as best we can.
So kind of the song leads you where it's going to go.
Yes.
Do you remember the first song you ever wrote?
Yeah. Yeah. I was 7.
Wow.
Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay. I was laying in bed. My brother's in his bunk bed up above me. When I walk down the street, I like to repeat, will you marry me? Da-da-na-na-na, da-da-na-na-na. That's the horn part, I guess. That was it. I was 7.
That's a pretty good song.
That's great.
I was 7.
And you still...
And it rhymed.
Yeah, and it rhymed. And
We got a message from Paul Gallagher.
Cool. Hey, Paul.
Listening in to my cousin David, heartfelt songwriting. Thanks for writing.
Paul Gallagher's your cousin?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know that?
Small world, isn't it?
How would I know
that? Our research department is woefully inadequate.
Yeah. We know him from our meetup group. Yeah.
That's really
Paul
cool.
And I have a song on my next album that we co-wrote. We went to a family reunion. That's why he triggered me here. And he saw this sign when he was a kid, and it said, eat here, get gas. So we wrote a song called Eat Here, Get Gas. And when I pitched it in Nashville, I said, I think this is a Brad Paisley song. So that'll be on the next album.
Yeah. So is your prison story fit for air, or is that something else?
I was in jail in Glasgow when I traveled around Europe for 5 months when I was 19. And the hostel pass wasn't active yet till October 1st. So our English teacher said, if you're ever stuck, go to the local jail and get them to put you up. Mm. And we went to Northern District Jail in Glasgow. It was just built, hadn't even opened. And they said, sure, we'll throw you in here. And they took us down, and we slept on the cold floor in our sleeping bags in Northern District Jail.
Wow.
And at 6 in the morning, the warden taps on the bar, and he took us out to the highway, and we hitched away from there.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So it was the only night I've ever spent in jail was in my homeland, Scotland, or my grandparents' homeland.
Right.
Yeah. Gee whiz.
Brilliant. I mean, there's no disparagement intended, but I always thought that Scottish jails would be full.
This one was just waiting. Just built, yeah.
So send all your emails to Michael at Song Talk Radio. Yeah.
So what's coming up next for you, David?
Saturday, I'm doing a benefit at Free Times for the Heart and Stroke Foundation.
Oh, nice.
A friend of mine, Linda Saslov's putting on a night. And then Sunday morning, I'm in Stratford at the Christmas Market at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah. And then doing Winter Folk at the end of February in Toronto here. Mm-hmm. It's 3 nights at the Transac.
Okay.
And then the Bluebird in March.
Transac is where we hold our meetup.
Yeah.
So are you playing live a lot, or?
I go to a lot of open mics, and I just try out new stuff that I just wrote. And what a crucible. It's to me, you do a song once live, it really matures it.
Right.
And
do you ever change it from the response you get live, or?
I'm always rewriting, so I don't. Oh, you mean like if it was a real dud, I think I better go back to the drawing board.
Or the other way, if people really dig the chorus, then you go, okay, I'm going to repeat that chorus a couple more times.
Yeah, leave the chorus. Yeah, sure.
Lead with it.
It's an indicator, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, so. And if they're buying you drinks and stuff, then, you know, I don't change a thing in the song.
Yeah, there's always that. And do you like with all the songs you write, do all of them make their way onto an album, or do you have a lot that are never recorded?
I have 8 right now. I want to do a protest album.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if I'd do it in Nashville. I mean, they could cut it, but I wouldn't want the steel guitar in there, right? And more like Neil Young with Crazy Horse with the fuzz dialed up and just going berserk. But
what would you be protesting?
One song's called One Less Gun, about gun violence.
Oh, yeah.
Another song's called 1 Million Umbrellas, which is when...
In Hong Kong?
No, in Madrid when terrorists put bombs on a train and shot it downtown, and 206 people got killed and 1,800 people injured. And so they protested. They had a million-man march in Madrid, and it was raining in Spain.
Oh, okay.
And everyone had an umbrella.
All right.
1 Million Umbrellas. There's your protest song. Mm-hmm. But it was about, and all these terrorists were eventually caught, rounded up. And so stuff like that, like more worldly stuff, yeah.
Right. I hear the band.
Speaking of rounding up, that is all the time we have.
Throwing us out.
Song Talk Radio. Special thanks to our guest, David McLaughlin.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Where can our listeners find more of your music?
It's on Spotify, iTunes, CD Baby. Go to my website.
What's the website?
YouTube. I have a YouTube thing, David McLaughlin Music on YouTube.
Okay. There's numerous ways to spell McLaughlin, so we should make sure it's Mick. McLaughlin?
Get your Sarah McLaughlin album out.
McLaughlin. Same?
You're not related to Sarah, are you?
No, no. When we split, I kept, no.
That is David M. Small C L A C L A N.
No, L A C H.
L A C H L A N.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. All right.
It'll be on our site.
We like to get letters from our audience, but sometimes we're not so good at reading the letters. And send us your impressions on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Song Talk Radio, or send us an email, feedback@songtalk.ca. Also, be sure to check out our YouTube channel for live performance videos. We got two of them tonight, and full episodes. We got one of those tonight. And please stop by the Song Talk site at Song Talk. Speaking of reading.
For extra repetition.
Subscribe today to the Song Talk Radio podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher.com, Spotify, Podcast Addict. What's the other one? TuneIn.com. Many others, I'm sure. And don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter at songtalk.ca. You can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mention on the show on our resources page on the website. And, of course, if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Song Talk meetup. It's on Thursday, December the 12th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transat Club. Bring your holiday songs. It's free to join on meetup.com and free to attend the meetup. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link. Thank you to Rita for handling the social media tonight.
Thank you, Rita.
Thank you, Rita. Very cool black and white picture there.
And on the tech board thingy tonight, we got Don. Thank you, Don, making us sound good. And also a big thank you to Vanessa Vreeland for her help behind the scenes at Song Talk Radio. And most of all, we'd like to thank you, our devoted listeners. You can follow me at neilmodi.com. You can follow Phil.
At TheFilmery on Twitter.
Follow Michael.
On Instagram, Proudfoot420.
And Rita. Miss Rita 256 on Instagram. And Don, do you have a social media channel of choice?
Yeah, Don Thompson 777. Twittergram.
On Twittergram.
Twittergram.
And David, you have a favorite social media channel at all?
I have all my stuff's on this thing called davidmclaughlin.herenow.com.
Here now.
How do you spell here?
Like H-E-A-R. Like
the listening here.
Like, yeah. Listen.
And stop by the website, songtalk.ca.
Sure.
Yeah.
Browse past shows, find out you can be a guest. Keep on writing.
Good night, everyone.
Night. Thank you, guys.